going forever. Moments go, time runs out. And then it hits you with pain. Things are great on the way out. Nobody's with you when you're on the way down. You got what you wish for. Is that what you
Welcome back to the Gods to Ghosts Volleyball Podcast for part three of our interview with Jeff Jordan. Let's not waste any time and pick things up where we last left off.
All right, JJ, you talked a bit about some of the great defensive players you witnessed on the beach, but you also played indoors on those USVBA teams, and then you played at PEP. Were there any guys that you can think of off the top of your head that were pretty impressive defensively indoors?
Yeah, that's an easy one. The best defender indoors ever, in my opinion, is Mike Moss. That guy was nuts. He was known for it and everything at Santa Barbara when he played there, of course. But that wasn't seen a whole lot, I don't think. And he did have issues about not being reliable and all that stuff that kind of made his career kind of go off and on.
Right.
And so I had only seen him once or twice, but he was a hell of a defender. I knew that. But after that, I actually played with him 3 straight years. And so I saw him a ton. And I am telling you, I mean, I've never seen anybody as consistently pick up balls. And, of course, when he played a lot, he was a great passer, too. And that was very important for me because I was playing opposite him. We were the outside hitters on two of the teams, and the other one I was a setter. But I played with him, and he was a great passer when he was playing a lot. He had to be playing a lot. But I'm telling you, Santa Barbara and some other times with West LA Window Shade, which was right after Pepperdine. And
wasn't that your dad's company that sponsored
that
you guys?
My dad's store. It was great, though. Listen, I mean, just another unbelievable situation that happened to me because I put that team together. I got the sponsor. I was coaching. We had Bob Clem and myself setting. So two very good players setting. I got Skip Allen, who is one of the best.
Love
outsiders.
Skip the Whip.
Skip the Whip, baby. And Mike Moss. This is Skip at when I asked. You know, Skip was going to play. We figured that out pretty early. Him and Tim Bonning. Have you ever heard of Tim Bonning?
I can't say that I have.
Tim Bonning. Let me tell you, I love Tim Bonning since the first time I saw him play. He's a center blocker from Santa Barbara. He was about 6'4", but I'm telling you, he had springs. He could, I don't know how high, but
was he a UC Santa Barbara guy too, like Skip and Mossman?
Yeah, these are all Santa, they're all, that's why it all came kind of together, was that I wanted Tim Bonning and Skip Allen. I love both those guys. And they both wanted to play. And then when we were getting, I had our first practice up at Pepperdine, I still had ties. As a matter of fact, Marv Dunphy was also on that team. Marv Dunphy and I were real tight because he was at Pepperdine, when I was redshirting, and Marv was an assistant coach my senior year, and, we were pretty tight. And so Marv Dunphy's the Olympic coach that changed volleyball in the whole world.
Oh,
really.
Yeah, I loved watching him in 88. That was when I fell in love with the sport, with him and Gary Sotto. Gary Sotto, another Santa Barbara guy, was on the bench with them.
That's right. But he's the one that invented the 2- and 3-man receive. We always used to have 4 and even 5
man
receives. And it was nobody came up with all the moving everybody around to avoid overlapping and then just allowing friggin' Mark, he had the luxury on that national team of having Karch in his absolute prime.
And Bob Stavertlich.
No, that's later. Aldis Verzin.
Oh, yeah, in 84 they had Ohio Verzins, yep.
Verzins, or Verzins, whatever it is, and he was a freaking sheen. And so those two guys, if I'm not mistaken, those two passed almost the whole court. And, you know, they won the freaking everything. Anyway, Marv is the guy that invented that. Well, Marv and I were pretty tight up there, and so I got Marv. He told me, like, I can't really play, but I could be your emergency guy. So he was like our eighth, ninth man. But that gave us a place to practice because Marv was still coaching up there. He was
right.
Assistant coach. So we go to Pepperdine to practice, and Skip calls me, and he says, look, Jeff, Mike Moss wants to play. And I immediately go, oh, Skip, come on, man. I don't know. You can't depend on Moss. And Skip says, look, he's really dedicated. He swears, you know, he's going to be available, and he's going to be reliable, blah, 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 blah. And so at that point, you know, because I like Mike, but he did have that reputation. But I said, okay, we'll bring him there, and we'll see how it works out, see if he shows up and all that stuff. And I'll tell you, we never pulled nothing. So we had Moss and Skip hitting outside. And then we had Tim Bonning, and I'm telling you, Tim Bonning, you know, he was on the national team for a while. He was pretty great. He didn't hit the ball that hard, but he got up so high, it didn't matter, and he was one of the best blockers I've ever seen. Ever. Ever. And then we had Big Daddy Don Shaw. That's another Santa Barbara guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had a pretty illustrious career at Stanford as the women's coach. He's one of the best women's volleyball coaches ever. I think he's got four national titles there. That's pretty impressive.
There you go, Big Daddy. Well, I taught him everything.
Anyway. Don Shaw, if you're listening, that wasn't me. That was Jeff Jordan.
Yeah, well, he'll understand. Anyway, Big Daddy was the other center blocker. And then myself and Bob Clem, we set. Okay, so we had a great team. And we won the first couple tournaments. You know, we dominated everybody or won or whatever. But here's the story. The tournament at Long Beach City College is like our second or third tournament. And you know what? I told you the other day I've never beaten Karch, but you know what? I think I did. Because to show you how good we were, at that Long Beach City College, in the pool play in the morning, we played UCLA. And we, you know, that was a USVBA tournament, but college teams came and played in those quite often. And UCLA was there, and we played them in the first or second game. We just destroyed them. And they had Steve Sammons, and I believe that was Karch's freshman year. It was 76. I'm pretty sure. Do you know when he graduated? Was it 79?
Don't know for positive. Yeah. It was right around there.
I know it's right around. I knew it. I'm pretty sure.
From Karch high school, I think he was in college in the late 70s and then graduated in like 81, 82, 80, right around there.
Well, that would be later. So I don't know. If that's the case, then he wasn't. But I'm pretty sure he started the year after I left. But I may be wrong. Anyway, if he was there, then I did beat Karch once. But anyway, but we just destroyed UCLA. Well, unfortunately, the next match, I just completely destroyed my ankle. And, I mean, I didn't break it, but I bad sprained ankle. But we had another guy, another Santa Barbara guy now that I think of it, but he was just a kid, and that's Reed Reynolds was on that team. And so we got Reed in there, and they ran a 5-1 with Clem, and they ended up winning the tournament. So, it wasn't fun for me, but, you know, the guys had a good tournament anyway and won. What I'm getting to is we ended up being a team called ANVA came in later, and they beat us once, and we beat them once. So it was us or ANVA were the two best teams in the country, hands down. Now, my dad gave us $500, you know, and that's all he could do, and we knew that. Everybody knew that we did not have the money to go to the Nationals, but we did have the money to get uniforms and play all year and all that. So we had to. So the thing was, at the end of the year, because we beat ANVA, and ANVA, I forget what it stood for, but it was some organization, and they had some money. They did not want to go to the Nationals and win without beating us. Because they knew that we could beat them. So they offered to pay for us to go to the Nationals. Okay, so, and we're just stoked as can be, except I'm still out from my ankle. If I was coming back, I would have been second rate. I wasn't ready. But the thing was, then Tim Bonning signed with, that's when that pro tournament thing started up, the one with the boys and the two girls, I think. And Bonning signed in with that. He'd already signed, so he couldn't play. He had to stay with that. Then Skip Allen had something with, I don't know what happened, something with his testicle. He had to have surgery, and pretty quick. So he had to have surgery, so we get the money for the Nationals, and we can't go because we only got four guys. I mean, it was just, or whatever it was. It's just unbelievable, the bad luck on that one, because that was a hell of a team. Our mantra was, when we wanted to start getting going, we need to pull down the shade and start blocking. Pull down the shade. That was no big deal.
The West LA window shades.
West LA window shade. Anyway, so Moss was an outside hitter, and he played great all year. And then the next 2 years, both Moss and I got on the team called the Patriots. Don and Bob Bender. Here's the most unbelievable story you'll ever hear. This absolutely happened just exactly like I'm going to say it. The first year we go the tournament, we were the best team in the country. We won every tournament, I think. It was just no doubt about it. And we go to Hawaii. We're the first seed. Okay, we won the AAU tournament. That doesn't mean much, but we did. It was a lesser tournament in Honolulu. Then the USVBA Nationals were 2 weeks later in Hilo, and we're the first seed. Okay, Maccabee is the second seed, Chris Marlowe's team. And when they put up the brackets, okay, the brackets were put up the day before, whatever, I don't know when it started, but the day before, and however many teams, the first and second seed, us and Maccabee, had a bye, okay? So we see the brackets, we go back to the hotel, we were going to show up the next day at 2 o'clock to play our second round, you know, whoever won that first round to get to us to play. So we show up the next day, like an hour, 1 o'clock, whatever it was, and they say, you're out of the tournament. You lost the first round. You didn't show up. And, Scott, I kid you not, that is exactly what happened. They didn't tell us. They didn't tell the coaches. They didn't tell anybody. They decided to put teams in, let a couple more teams from the pool play, which is fine, you know, add a couple teams, but they didn't tell us. Now, they told Maccabee, because Maccabee came early and played their game. They were the other team that had a bye. They knew about it, but we didn't. We show up at 1 o'clock or whatever it was. We're out of the tournament, they say. And then they had a meeting. Oh, we're going to bless you and let you in the tournament, but you're in the loser's bracket. Oh, gee, thanks. That's real nice of you. And don't forget, we're the best team in the country by a mile. It was some friggin', I don't know who did this. I never did learn, but it's the biggest screw job that I have ever seen, and I want to get this out, and I want everybody to know it, and I'd like to find out who the hell ever did that to us, but it happened. And then we battled back, but the loser's bracket, right from the start, we had about 30 games in 3 days, and we ended up getting a third, I think, but we just didn't have enough in the tank to make it all the way back. Anyway, that's just an unbelievable thing that actually happened. Anyway, Moss was opposite. Me and Moss were the outside hitters that year and the next year in El Paso. And Moss was, I'm telling you, nobody. I saw him crash into so many bleachers, you know, trying to get a ball up and usually getting it. His head, it didn't matter. He was always on the floor. He was always running about 20 feet off the court, get something up with one hand or with his foot or whatever he had to do. And he also was very good with his positioning. He wasn't some crazy guy that you never could count on because he was playing middle back. He and I always played middle back. And, he wouldn't be out of position either. He would just go get something that nobody else could ever touch. And then if somebody was hitting wide open, he'd get right in the middle and get down and dig it like, you know, beach style. And I never seen anybody dig more balls than Mike Moss or go into as many bleachers as Mike Moss. One time he ran up the bleachers. One time he ran up like 4 or 5 steps up the freaking bleachers over the side, you know? They're like 15 feet off the court. He goes flying over there, runs up 3-4 steps, gets the ball up, comes back down into the court. I mean, he was all over the place. And I'll never forget Mike, and he did a fantastic job. He did a great job hitting, man. I don't know what he did in between 75 and 6, but I mean, he was jumping out of the gym, and he got really smart as a hitter. He had a great tip, or a dink, we used to call it, right over the middle blocker. He had all kinds of shots, because he hit a million balls for us. He and I both, we put a million balls down for that team, those teams. So, definitely Mike Moss indoors. I'll tell you, another Santa Barbara guy, it's funny, Gus Mee, he was a center for Santa Barbara about my time, earlier 70s. He was a center, and Gary Sotto you brought up, he was a great digger down the line, too. Man, he was a little guy, man. He could cover some ground. Gary Sotto.
That Sotto family is one of the most talented volleyball royalty, and they're just the nicest people.
I
was with Gary at the California Beach Volleyball Association Hall of Fame. He came and attended it with me and Hooper and Clem when I had the pleasure of introducing Shamalis as Sloppy Seconds, because John Hastings couldn't be there. And
Hastings wasn't there, huh?
No, okay. He couldn't come, so I read what he had to say, and then I said a few things. And I was absolutely certain I was going to pee down my leg or pass out. And right before I went up, like, Gary Sotto and then Dane Selznick both gave me some good advice. And luckily, I kept it together for a couple minutes, and that was one of the neatest experiences of my life.
Where was that?
That was at the museum there in Hermosa Beach.
Oh, for the
Hall of Fame induction that they have every November.
Oh, okay. I wanted to get that. So we got the West LA window shade thing and the Hawaii story in there, which is just unbelievable.
Well, I heard Moss is pretty fun off the court, too. I remember Pat Powers ran into him at one of, they both, like, Pat coach Powers. High school kids at tournaments and club teams and whatnot, and Powers put up a picture of running into Moss at one of those tournaments that they both had teams in, and Powers said, I finally remember a party that I was at up in Santa Barbara, and Mike Moss showed up and made a great entrance by running his van into the bushes in the tree, and then got out of the car, the van, and said, anyone got a beer for me?
That sounds about right. That's funny. You know, that the little thing I was going to say, one of the things I remember was him walking in our hotel in Hawaii there. It was actually in Honolulu, not Hilo. We had this just kind of a funky hotel. We were all sitting there watching football or something during the day. And he walks in with a couple pizzas, and he said, hey, anybody want a pizza? That was his thing as he walked in the door. So he bought pizza for everybody. I kind of remember that. It was kind of a special day for him. He was really nice that day. But that's kind of how he is, you know. He's kind of off the wall. He is an artiste, you know. So they get to claim that semi-lucid behavior. Anyhow, those are the guys I remember. Moss sticks out so much for indoors. You know, I just can't think of anybody that did what he did. So there were some guys that were good line diggers, mainly setters. That's about it. We'll leave it there. Leave Mike Moss in his own world.
That's right.
He deserves it.
That Pally UC Santa Barbara guy. Good stuff. Now, you also had a pretty good coaching career as far as high school level. You coached as an assistant with Bill Ashen at Laguna Beach High School, who's had some pretty damn good teams with those artists. Artists, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I'm from Wisconsin, please forgive me. And then with Mike Cook for those MiraCosta Mustangs, which is...
That's right.
Between the two of those, gosh, I mean... It couldn't have been two better. Well, one, that's impressive that they both took you to be a assistant coach with them, because they obviously knew that you knew something. And then what do you remember about that time and some of the players you got to coach? I think Adam Johnson mentioned you were his.
I did a good job and everything, but I was lucky. That's one time where I got a lot of good players kind of handed to me, and then I think I did a pretty good job, you know, molding them somewhat, too. anyway, Bill Ashton, yeah, he called me. I don't remember where we met. I mean, I knew Bill pretty well. Bill and Tom Ashton, his older brother, I think. Tom Ashton had been a really good player, especially indoors, earlier than that. Anyway, so Bill called me and said, hey, you know, I need a freshman coach. That's when I was working with the clothing line, the Burmese clothing line, so I was in Orange County. And he said, I need a coach for the freshman team down in Laguna. You want to come down and give you a stipend or whatever it was? And I said, yeah, that would work out good. And so the thing is, I go down to Laguna, and the freshman team at the time, of course, these guys were all just kids, but Adam Johnson, Steve Blue, Leif Hansen, those were the three that went on, and I had some other nice, good little guys.
Was Fortune there when you were there?
No. The other guys, like the little blonde, Mike Carlton was a guy. He didn't go on to do anything other bigger, but he did a very good job setting for us. I don't remember. I remember Mark something. He was an all-around player. Anyway, the three guys with the names that I mentioned, the thing was, so that year, we won every game we played except Dana Point. We split. So we tied for first in our league, and then we won the tournament. And then when we had that was freshman year. That's right. Excuse me. I don't know if we were. I don't remember if we were. We tied for first in the league. That's all I remember for sure. But the thing was, the following year, what Ashton did, I forget the guy's name. But there was another guy coaching the JVs, but since basically all the guys I had were going to move up to the JV team, Bill said, look, I'm going to just have JJ take the same kids and use them because they're all going to be on the JV team. So Jeff will do the JV team, and his JV coach would go do the freshman. And then the following year, he would go up. So he'd kind of keep the same coach for the first year or two. That was a pretty good idea Ashton had. So the second year, I also had, you know, Adam Johnson, Steve Blue, and Leif Hansen along with the other guys. And that year, we did this pretty much the same thing. We won the league. We tied because we split with San Clemente. And we won the league, but we lost one splitting with them. And then we had the tournament, the JV. They have one tournament for JV Championships of Southern California. And I think we lost in the finals to that San Clemente team again. But it was in the finals. It was real tight. So we had, you know, we took second. So we had a great year. And then, of course, Adam Johnson was, I believe, All-America at what, Stanford, I think? And
USC.
Of course. What?
He was Trojan.
Yeah. Steve Blue went to Stanford. He was at SC, I'm sorry. And, you know, he played there, was All-American, and I believe, of course, on the Pro Tour, Adam was one of the top players for 10 years at least.
Yeah, and he had that really wimpy jump serve that was like a girl during a pillow fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did have a
bullet. Just ask Karch and Ken at the Manhattan Beach Open.
That's right. He had a bullet. That's right.
Was he that good of a hitter as a young kid, too? He just had one of those arms. I heard you had a pretty good arm, too, like that.
Yeah, actually, it's hard to say because, actually, on the teams we had, he was bigger. He was, you know, he wasn't that big compared to everybody else later. What was he, 6'3", maybe? But he was one of the bigger guys when they were young. So he middle blocked for the two teams I had. And so the whole thing with the big arm swing, you don't really, he's more kind of smashing down one sets and stuff like that. So he didn't really have that back then. He was probably our best player though, over all around because he played all around and he blocked really well and he hit outside a little bit. But anyway, so no, I didn't really see all the big arm swing that came later on because, yeah, he had a very quick arm swing. Well, we saw it with the jump serve mainly, you know, and then hitting. But Steve Blue went, I think it was, yeah, Steve, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, no, he was at Miracles. Steve Blue, right, he went to Stanford, I think, and he was All-American. Now, he didn't go to the beach game, but he was another great player. He was a full ride up to Stanford. And then Leif Hansen, he went to Orange Coast Junior College, but Leif Hansen was on the pro tour for, I don't know, quite a while, and I believe he, did he ever sneak in for a win?
He won a tournament with Pat Powers in New Jersey.
Yeah, I think he won one. Yeah.
He won one, and then I also watched him and Scott Friedrichsen when they should have made it to the
I remember that
final, and then there was a clock thing. And
They called Gage
came over, and he said, put the 10th back on. Adam served.
I was sitting with Matt in the stand watching that whole match, and when all that started, I was sitting in the stands. This is hilarious, okay? Sitting in the stands with Gage, and wasn't Greg Kraus refereeing? I think Greg Kraus is the guy, and he bailed on the whole thing. They were arguing, and Gage is sitting there with me, and he says, JJ, God, I hope they don't call me out. That's exactly what he said. And a minute later, Kraus bailed on the whole thing. I can't remember all the stuff that happened, but both Matt and I were saying he should have just called the damn thing. But he didn't, and so then Gage, and they called him out there, and he looks at me and says, oh, shit, and he walked, and that's the last I talked to him about it, but that was pretty funny.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, they got screwed out of that.
Yeah, I was right there by the clock. I remember Matt going, put the 10th back on, and Leif and Freddie were just
oh, that's right. It had to do, but the thing was, they were mechanical clocks, and the thing was, is once the girl starts, it was a girl up there, once she hits the button, it goes click, and then the thing clicks. So the case should have been, did she ask the girl, did you start the clock? If the answer was yes, it should have been gone. They never did that. They went.
Or she said she, if I remember right, and it scares me that I have a crazy memory like this, I can't remember my mom's birthday, but I can remember stuff like this because it's volleyball, that she goes, I did stop it, and it should have had time left on it. But it didn't stop. And now he goes, well, then put the 10th back on.
Okay, well, we're still arguing about it. I don't think that's what she said. I don't think that was the thing. I think it was a matter of, oh, yeah, that they should have stopped earlier? Is that what it was?
Well, they got stopped earlier, and then Adam served that point to tie it up, and then it went into sudden death. And then
it's whether it stopped or not. Okay,
yeah, it didn't stop, and she said it should have stopped.
The way those clocks, those are the early ones, and the way they work is you can stop that thing, and, you know, it might be in between clicks. And so as long as she stopped it on time, then it should have gone with what the clock had. They could have got her out of the whole deal, but it ended up, Matt was screwed by the time he got there anyway. That was Laguna. So there were 2 years, and mainly those three guys were the three that went on. But there were a couple other guys. It's funny, at Laguna, after the JV year, because the kids were older, I did something that was a little crazy at the time, but I got away with it. The funny thing is that Adam was, he was the only guy. Well, let me get to the point. At the end of the year, we did so well, you know, I wanted to have a little party for the kids. I had a house. My dad had purchased a house in Huntington Beach at the time, and I was living there. So I had a four-bedroom house that I had that I could have people over and stuff. So I thought, look, I'll have a party for the kids, have them come up. And the thing was, I decided I was going to, I mean, look, these are Laguna kids, man. You know, they know what's going on. And I decided to let them drink beer, but they could not drive home. So I thought I covered it pretty good because I knew damn good and well they were all drinking, you know, probably more than beer. Anyway, and I had all of them had to sign a parental consent. And knowing Laguna, I was pretty sure that the parents wouldn't mind that much. And again, they weren't going to be able to drive. So anyway, I think Adam... And Adam wanted to go really bad, but his parents wouldn't let him. It was pretty funny. I kind of felt sorry for him back then, because I think he was the only one that couldn't go. Anyway, we had a great time, and the kids came up and raised hell at my house, and they behaved. They got a little drunk, but they behaved themselves, and I had about 10 kids laying on the floor all night. Anyway, that turned out really fun. Anyway, so a couple years later, Mike Cook and I, we go way back to like the first year I told you. He's one of the guys that got me to play on the Orange Court for the first time.
Yep.
And Mike and I played together in a couple tournaments, AA tournaments. And then he asked me to coach the JV team at MiraCosta, which, of course, I went there. And so I said, yeah. And I forget, let's see, what year, I don't know. Late 80s, I think. I'm not thinking really. I think in there. Anyway, so again, I got real lucky because I had Dave Swadek, I had Canton Seaman, and I had...
Ashenfelter?
Ashenfelter.
Ivy? Patrick Ivy?
Pat Ivy. I'm sorry, Pat Ivy. Those are the three that went on and did some things. Nothing wrong with Ashenfelter. He's a really nice kid. But Canyon Seaman, you know, I mean, he went on one of the main players in the pro tournaments on the beach, but he also was All-American at Stanford.
Yep.
Was it Berkeley? I think he went to Berkeley.
So he was a Stanford guy, yep. He
went to Stanford, okay. And then that's Canyon. And what did I say? Pat Ivy, he went to SC and played there and did really well. And then Dave Swadek, he went to
UCLA and he played his freshman year there, and I think he did really well. And then he left after his freshman year and went to the beach and played with John Hanley.
Well, that's what I mean. Swadek played on the tour there for about 10-15 years and was one of the main players for a while.
Yep.
So he had a really big career on the beach. So anyway, I had Swadek just hammering balls outside. You wouldn't believe how many balls he put away. I mean, we went to him over. I'll never forget. It was probably because we won our league and we never lost a game. We never lost. A match. We never lost a match all year long. The only one that was close was It was a Santa Barbara or San Luis Obispo. Santa Barbara team. It was a Santa Barbara high school. And
San Marcos?
It was Santa Barbara High School. And anyway, we had a tight match with them when they came down here. They might have beat us. I'm not sure. But we won the league because they didn't win all their other games, if they did beat us. But anyway, then the JV championships, they have that one JV tournament, and we won that. So... We might have lost the one match, but then we beat that team again in the finals of the tournament. So, you know, we had a really successful year, that was a really fun year coaching, and being back at MiraCosta was really neat for me, and the guys just did really well. And so Swadek, I'll never forget this. We were getting near the end. I think it was that tournament because, you know, it was a tough tournament and we had to play that team that had beat us one time. And I'm telling you, it was getting near the end and guys were digging balls left and right and Swadek was left front and we fed Swadek a couple balls and he put him down and he was playing varsity ball right then, I swear. He was so on. He was playing like he did 2 years later. And we get into the huddle. The other team called timeout, and I told our center, I told Canyon, I said, look, every ball that you can right now, just feed Swadek. Keep going, because he's a horse. And he did. He must have been three or four more balls after that. And he fed them to Swadek every time, and he put every single ball down. It was unbelievable. Swadek was so on fire. Anyway, those are some good ones, and... that was pretty much the coaching, except, of course, all the six-man teams that I've had. So that's all coaching, too, because, you know, every one of those teams except one, out of 25 years, I believe, I was, you know, it was basically my team. So we had a lot of success there, too. But never got involved in anything else too much. I had some really, really good players. And I was really lucky on that, and they performed very, very well at the two high schools. And, of course, all of them went on to really good careers at the high school and college and some of them at the pro level on the beach. So that was how that ended up.
This wraps up part three of our interview with Jeff Jordan. Thanks for listening. Part four is on its way. If you're enjoying the content that we're sharing commemorating the history of the sport of volleyball, please take the time to visit our website, which is godstoghosts.com, where you'll find more interesting information about this amazing sport. We'll be in touch soon. Thanks again for listening.